Young people, you may be seated. And the rest of you, I'd like to dismiss our children to Sunday school. If you'd remain standing, I'd like to turn your attention to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, a very familiar scripture. And Brother Hefner, if you could keep the screen down, I'd like to show the scriptures this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14, it says, "If my people, which are called or called out by my name, shall humble themselves." The word humble means to bend a knee and pray. "Humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land." A conditional promise from God. There are 1,420 ifs in the Bible. Conditions. If you will, then I will. There are conditions that God places on the blessings he has. If you would turn to Leviticus, the 26th chapter. Leviticus chapter 26, starting in verse number 3. It says, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season. And the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword, and 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you." So again, God gives us conditions. If you will walk in my statutes and keep my commandments, look, I'll do something for you that you couldn't possibly do for yourself. Hallelujah. And then Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, and starting in verse number 35. "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can measure, and the foundations of the earth search out beneath, I will also cast off all of the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord." Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God. We especially need your anointing. God, open the windows of heaven. Allow us to see things that we have never seen before. Bless every individual that's here, especially visitors. We'll give you the praise and the glory. It's in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Here in Jeremiah, God tells us that there are certain ordinances, or there are certain laws that are established, and they're established forever. They're not ever going to change. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, there isn't anything new under the sun. Everything that has been seen will will continue to be seen. The sun and the moon follow the orders of God according to the scriptures. The waves have a rhythm that is set by God, and man cannot change the rhythm of the waves. Man can't change the weather. All they can do is trace it. All they can do is track it. All they can do is prepare for it. But it's all up to God. You know, when you see some of these catastrophes, you have to ask yourself, why are they happening? Is it by chance? No man can measure heaven or the foundations of the earth, it said. And God is so confident of these things that he said that God would forsake his people if this were not so. So he's so confident these things aren't going to change. If these things were to change, I'd have to forsake my people. And of course, he's never going to forsake us or leave us. Yesterday was an absolutely beautiful day, but I know long about November, it's not going to be as pretty. How do you know that? How can you forecast? Because it's already happened last year and the year before and the year before, and it will follow suit. It's the order of God. We can't change it. There are certain things that are the order of God that you're not going to change. I don't care how many people say, well, you're going to change it. It's still not going to change. There are laws that govern the natural world as well as laws that govern the spiritual world that will never change. Now, only God can suspend the laws of this world, and he has. He's stopped the wind, you know. He can do any of these things. He stopped the sun. He turned back the sun. Nobody can do that, but God can overrule the laws of nature. He will do that at the time of the rapture. Gravity will no longer have any kind of pull on the saints of God. We're going to be sucked up into heaven because there's nothing to keep us attached to this world. But until then, what goes up must come down. It's the law. Isaac Newton discovered this principle when an apple fell out of a tree and hit him in the head. What a brilliant man he was. I discovered that principle when I first walked into a Pentecostal church and raised my hands. And as soon as something went up, something came down. There are some people who think that they can change the law of nature or even the laws of the spiritual realm, but they cannot. Amen. Oh, these laws aren't relevant to us anymore. No, my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not, and that means his word will never change no matter what society does. Amen. It's the law. It's the law. We could try this principle in the church if there are some who are still unbelievers about the law or the principles of God. And don't try this at home because only professionals should do this, you see. So here's the law of this world. Have you noticed that when it went up, it came down again? Now, this could be just a fluke. Yeah. You'll be all right, sister. I'm telling you, it never fails. I've tried this over and over again. I've hit a tennis ball so hard thinking it'll never come down. But yes, it keeps coming down. It's amazing. I'm not saying people could catch, but I'm telling you. It will come down. We have got to help this congregation. That's it. That's it. They say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Hallelujah. I don't have any more tennis balls, but I don't think even if I did a million that we'd have a different result. People still would not be able to catch it. In the early 80s, there's a small town in Australia that were left speechless. One day, on a very clear day, they were walking. There's only 650 people in this little town in Australia. They were walking, and as they were walking, fish fell out of the sky. I mean, I looked it up, and they had pictures of these fish that they actually picked up off of the ground. They were 6 to 10 inches. They were perch. And these people picked them up, took them home, and they ate them. And it was a wonderful meal from heaven. Meteorologists say the incident was probably caused by a tornado or some kind of whirlwind that picked up fish out of water hundreds of miles away, brought them to this little village, and dumped them. One lady said, "I thank God that it weren't crocodiles." The law of nature, fish don't come down from the sky, but they have to go up, and if they go up, they have to go down. I've got a point here. Just hold on. The law of nature says something has to go up before it comes down. Now, I know that God can suspend these laws. He did for Elijah. He took him up in a whirlwind. Nobody knows where he went. Where did the manna come from that laid on the ground every morning in order to feed Israel? Now, water must evaporate and go up before we can get some kind of rain. It has to happen. I wonder why it doesn't rain in the desert so much. Well, there isn't anything in the desert that can go up. I'm telling you, this will preach. If you got a dry, dead church, you're wondering, why aren't we feeling the presence of God? Why aren't we seeing the miracles? So what is true in the natural is also true in the spiritual. Unless something goes up, nothing will come down. Blessings of God can't come down unless praise goes up. Some might say, I wonder why I'm just not feeling the presence of God like I used to. When I got the Holy Ghost, man, the Holy Ghost was all over me. Well, have you been sending something up? I said earlier, there are some people who disregard the importance of worship services, and so they come for the preaching of the word. And what they're saying is, I want something from God, but I don't want to give God anything. It's God's law. Church, we can't just show up and say, God, bless me real good. Amen. God, send me some nice-sized fish. Okay, well, why don't you stir up some wind? And maybe God will. Oh, God, I need a raise on the job. God, you know, I hate this job that I'm in. You know, I'm not going to ask how many don't like their job. I need a real financial blessing. All right, what have you given lately? It's the law. Jesus said there is a law, and you have to abide by the law. If you don't abide by the law, even if I want to, I can't, because God is conditional, and he is restricted by what the Word of God says. It's getting quiet. Luke, the 6th chapter. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 8. Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men. That could be your employer. That could be a customer. Shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal shall be measured to you again." So with the same approach, with the same giving, if you're a cheerful giver, God will give you back cheerfully. Amen. What we send up will come back in a greater, greater, greater measure is God's law. And you have to abide by the law. Naaman had leprosy. He was a dead man. And the prophet told him, go to the Jordan River and dip 7 times. And he didn't like the instructions. He didn't think it was necessary. It didn't even make sense because the Jordan River was a pretty filthy river in comparison to the rivers in Syria. Why can't I just go to Syria and do the same thing? Well, it may not make any sense to you, but by the seventh time that he went under the water, he came up and he was absolutely perfect. It may not make sense to you, but it's the law. We didn't make the law. He made the law. Reading Acts 2 and 38 won't save you. But doing what Acts 2 and 38 says will. Just hearing the sermon won't help you. But applying the principles of every sermon that comes from the pulpit, it will. But if we get to that place where, all right, I'm here, I'm listening, but I'm not, no way am I going to do what the preacher is telling me. Well, then you've wasted your time. Oh God, open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on me. I want you to pour out a blessing on my family. And please, God, protect my family from any kind of harm. And God's saying, no problem. That's exactly what I want to do. Please send something up.
Amen.
So I can open the windows.
Amen.
All right. I'm turning to the most feared scripture in the Bible, Malachi, the third chapter. I want to be a blessing to somebody here.
Amen.
Preaching isn't a curse, it's a blessing.
Amen.
It really is. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your father, ye have gone away from mine ordinances or laws and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet have ye robbed me? But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all of the tithes into the storehouse, the place you get your spiritual food, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now where herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Will you prove me?" That's what he's saying. I know it might not sound right, but would you prove me? And here, verse 11, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your grounds, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Glory to God. "And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." You're going to be happy. You're going to be happy. You're going to be blessed. We're not just talking about finances here. We're talking about health. We're talking about protection here. We're talking about raises. We're talking about customers. We're talking about the blessings of the Lord. We're talking about a huge window that is opened in heaven. And God's saying, "I've got to send something down because of what they're sending up. It's a law." Not a suggestion, it's the law. It's cause and effect. If you will, then God will. There's always a contingency or a prerequisite to God's blessing. It just doesn't happen because you come to a house. It just doesn't happen because, you know, you have said, "I'm a good person." It's contingent. The first "if" in the entire Bible is found in Genesis. Would you turn to Genesis, the fourth chapter? Genesis 4 and 7. Now, here we have Cain and Abel. They're trying to get back into the graces of God, and they both bring an offering to God. Abel brings an offering of the first of his lambs, and Cain brings an offering of the cursed ground. Abel brings an offering saying, "God, please, this is the best that I have, and I'm not worthy." But Cain brings an offering, "Okay, I'll do it. Mom and Dad said, I have to do it. And what happens? Literally, fire came down on the altar of Abel and consumed it, but nothing happened to the sacrifice of Cain. Now, we could compare that to being in church. I'm here. That pastor, he just yells if you don't come to church. You know, I know I'm supposed to be here, but all right, I'm here. And then you're wondering why the fire of heaven doesn't come down and consume your sacrifice. But those who say, oh God, I'm just so grateful that I could get into your presence. They cannot get out of here with tears streaming down their cheeks because God had respect onto their offering and not respect onto somebody else's offering. Verse number 7 in that fourth chapter says, if thou doest well, Lord's talking to Cain, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Why are you so sad? Why are you so down in the dumps? If thou doest well, shall not the Lord not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You get to the place where your desires rule over you and you just don't have any pleasures any longer. A condition put on man to be accepted by God. Today's religion says everyone's fine. You're fine, I'm fine, we're all good. You know, let's all sing kumbaya and we all love each other. No conditions on salvation. You're saved by grace, and you know grace will cover everything. I'm sorry. It's just not a Christian principle. Amen. One of the best-known ifs in the Bible is that 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, which are called by my name, that's us folks, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, say then, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Verse 15, God goes on to say, now my eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayers that is made in this place. If. What a promise. But it's all conditional. It's God's way or it's no way at all. No. Would you turn to 2 Chronicles, the 6th chapter? Second Chronicles 6 and verse 26. When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin, when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. So we find that when we do good, there's blessings. When we don't do good, there's blessings that are withheld. James 4 and 2 says, you have not because you ask not. Church, we greatly underestimate the value of talking to God, prayer. When things aren't right between people, what's the first thing that stops? It's the communication. And when we don't feel like we're right with God, we don't have the liberty to talk to God. But we underestimate the value of prayer. What happens here on a Saturday morning is absolutely incredible. Angels are dispatched from this place, from this very altar. Even in our services, angels, believe me, you can't see them, but the Bible confirms that angels are dispatched in order to take care of situations within the congregation and outside the congregation. It's not an option for Christians. It's not just an exercise that Christians go through, but we're expecting something is going to happen when we pray. God sends rain based on what goes up. There is not one of us that doesn't want somebody in our family to be saved. Not one of us. I mentioned it Wednesday night, and I guess because I'm so thrilled with it, we had 20 people in a Bible study on Tuesday night. And four of the people that came the week before couldn't, but they're coming back, and I have like three or four more people who are coming this Tuesday. I couldn't be more excited about anything. But if I taught that Bible study without praying, asking God to touch it, I'm just going through the motions. Amen. We had a man in this congregation who had a very vivid dream that his parents were lost, and they didn't have a whole lot of time. And so what do you do with that? Just pray about it? Well, you can. But he said, listen, Mom, Dad, I've had this dream, and I want you to be a part of this Bible study. Well, Tuesday night they were there, and I saw their faces and how they responded to the Word of God. You see, every one of us want to see our friends and our relatives, our family saved, but something has to go up to see God's hand come down. We have to do something. You're probably the only one that's saved in your family, but there is a responsibility that we have in order to reach the rest. Oh, it may be uncomfortable, but so what? Zechariah 10 and 1 says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain and every one grass in the field. God's saying, just ask me. You got family. Just ask me. Why don't you ask me? Why don't you come before me? Why don't you send something up so I can send something down? They were praying for 10 days in the upper room. And the wind started to blow. And the rain came. And all of a sudden there was a whirlwind in the form of the Holy Ghost. And it fell on each of them. Something had to go up for 10 days. Something was going up, going up, going up, going up. And God said, I've got to do something about it. In the 10th chapter of Acts, the prayers and the giving of Cornelius was so great that he had to send an angel. And he said, your prayers and your alms, your giving has come up as a memorial before me. And now send men to Joppa. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts 2 and 17 says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, we're in them. We heard from God this morning, saith the Lord, and I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. God is not a respecter of persons. He's not discriminatory. He will pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh. I was so impressed a couple of months ago when we had this children crusade. Brother Steve Cannon, the general Sunday school director for the entire nation, was here. And he said, just invite as many kids as you possibly could. Kids who have never, ever been in church in their life. And 30 kids were filled with the Holy Ghost because there were some people dared to pray and invite. Hallelujah. 10 days of prayer, and then it started to rain. And it fell. And it fell because of what went up. Makes a difference. Amen. We can't be a desert congregation. There's got to be plenty of water in a place that we need a refreshing. God's forecast for this church this morning is 100% chance of rain. And it isn't contingent upon God. It's a contingency upon each and every one of us. What will you do? Amen. I remember and this is not a rebuke, but I remember when our altar calls would last a half an hour, 45 minutes, because people were sending things up. I can guarantee you, it's not a prophecy. I can guarantee you, if you spend some more time worshiping and praying and asking God for the things you know will line up with His liking, God will pour out His Spirit. We will have relatives who will be calling us saying, I don't know, I just feel like I need to go to your church. I don't know, do you still teach one of those Bibles? So I know it's going to happen because it is the will of God that it would happen that way. But something has to go up. Something has. Well, we got a preacher, he prays, and there are a few, department heads that in there, and I know there are some people who are always there and they're praying. No, it matters if you pray. When they are all in one mind and one accord, the fish started falling. Amen. It's always a cause and effect. There's God's guarantee. We do our part, and God always does His part. I'm not a good person to sit on the sidelines and watch activity. I can't do that, you know. Want to go to the game and watch? No, thanks. But if you got a pickup game, I'll be a part of it, you know, because there's where the excitement is. Not watching, it's doing. Amen. Getting involved, you know. Wave your hands, stir up some wind, you know. Get to the place where, God, Amen. Won't you do this for me? Amen. God's saying, you know, that's all I've been waiting for. Hallelujah. You know, this church business of folding your hands and bowing your head and being quiet in church, you know, I'm sorry. I'm not going back to the refrigerator I came out of. I've been set free. I know that God will respond. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Luke, the 11th chapter? Luke 11, chapter 11, verse number 5, it says, And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. What God is saying is, you know what? These just little lay-me-down prayers are not enough. But if we are persistent, if we keep knocking at the door. I know it's inconvenient. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, God, but you know what? None of the people on the prayer band are open. They're not awake, but will you, God? Hallelujah. You know, there are no more high priests in the Old Testament, that we all become high priest, and the pastor of this church has no more power than each and every one of you. You can get into the holiest of holies for yourself. Hallelujah. You know the situation better than anybody. You are more desperate than anybody because of your relative, your situation, your husband, your wife. Verse 9, And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. God's saying, Every one of you have the authority to come before me and ask me. I delight in your prayers. I delight in your requests. It's my good pleasure to give to my people. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Come on. Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen. Hallelujah. God wants to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost this morning.
Amen.
He does.
Amen.
But the question is, how tenacious are you? I'm a hard case. It took 3 months for me to get the Holy Ghost. Of course, that was a lot of years ago, and God is pouring out his Spirit recklessly now. I see people getting the Holy Ghost in their first visit to church. I remember begging God. But he wasn't waiting for me to beg him. He was waiting for me to get to the place where I desired it more than anything. I became so tenacious. I got to the place where I said, tonight, and that's when I got it, tonight, I'm getting the Holy Ghost, God. I'm not leaving this altar until I get the Holy Ghost. God will honor those kind of prayers because those are the prayers that go up that God has to respond to. He just has to. Hallelujah. In 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, there was a terrible drought. It was horrible. Many people died and were dying because there was a lack of rain. But rain or lack thereof was only a symptom of the lack of people seeking God. And so we find in that chapter, 1 Kings 18, that there were people who weren't getting what they needed because they weren't seeking after God. We find all of the judges, you know, a judge would be raised up, the people would now serve God, and then the judge would die, and then they would lap back into not putting God at the forefront, and then they would be in trouble and they'd cry out to God, and in God's mercy, he would then send another judge, and the judge would say, all right, you people, this is what you need to do, and then all things would be well again, and the land would produce, and there would be rain. You should thank God for a tenacious preacher. You should thank God for every time somebody stands in this pulpit and says, no, 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 this is what you need to do. Because you want the rain, you want the blessing, you want the protection, you want the financial blessings on you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It would be a horrible thing if this church went into a drought.
Amen.
People dying because of lack of prayer, lack of praise. And I know you hear me pushing and pushing and pushing. Come on, you ought to come to prayer. Come on, let's worship God. Come on, this is an important thing. You know, if you hear me stopping that, somebody get a 2x4 and wrap it around my head, because there isn't anything that is more important than pushing people to the things that is going to bless them the most.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want the rain to keep coming.
Amen.
I don't want a drought.
Amen.
I hear from evangelists who go all over this nation, and some of them say, you know, I preach my heart out and nothing happens. Nothing. Nobody ever responds. Well, it just doesn't happen in a day. There has to be an atmosphere.
Amen.
For rain.
Amen.
There has to be a low pressure area that hits a high pressure area when people humble themselves and start praying to God. God, I'm not worthy, but would you open the windows of heaven for me?
Amen.
Glory to God. Would you turn to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter? First Kings chapter 18, starting in verse 41. And it says, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. There's a sound of an abundance of rain. I'm anticipating. You know, I wonder what the sound of abundance of rain could be in this church. Could it be people standing and saying, Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. This is right after a great miracle, after a drought, a long time, and people were dying because of the droughts. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Here's a man who knew, if I can get a hold of God, if I throw myself down on the ground and start praying to God, I know that if I can send something up, I know there's something that's going to come down. And he said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again, seven times. All right, it didn't happen. Okay, that's it. I tried church, and it's just not working for me. Well, maybe you ought to try church again. Maybe you ought to come to that crazy church one more time and see what God does for you. Come to this place where they're sending stuff up. Maybe some of it will fall upon you seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, it sounds like a Naaman, that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea.
Right.
Like a man's hand.
Amen.
Somebody in that congregation started raising their hands. Look out. If there's a visitor in here and this morning they decide just to raise one hand, oh, hallelujah, because somebody has been praying. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there rises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariots and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens was black and the clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezebel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I'll tell you what, you can't hardly raise a hand without God responding in some way, in some manner. We sing this song, let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. All right? We can sing the song. But I'll tell you what, if you haven't sent anything up, we can sing that song, and it's a nice little song, and it's got a little beat to it. But you can sing all you want, but if you haven't sent something up, if there aren't hands up in the air and saying, God, I humble myself before you. I want what you've got. God, I can't get it by myself. And the angels are singing, let them worship. Let them praise. Let them pray. Come on, people, worship and pray. Because the angels know once you start praying, once you start worshiping God, there is going to be a deluge. There's going to be an outpouring of God's Spirit upon His congregation. We're not dead. We're not dry. God has been blessing and blessing and blessing. But I want more. I want more. Hallelujah. They say divers have a problem when they get so deep. It's called the rapture of the deep. Something happens. There's a euphoria that happens in their mind and says, I'm not going up. And there have been, you know, numbers of divers who have just died because of the euphoria of getting so deep and seeing such beauty that they won't come back up. Oh, wouldn't it be great if we'd have a rapture of the Spirit where we get so deep in God that we're saying, I'll tell you what, I'm going so deep. I see such beauty. I feel such a euphoria in the presence of God. I'm not leaving this place until I get what God has for me. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Looks like the sun's out, but you might get your umbrella because it's about to rain in this place. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we have Brother Drury coming.